Welcome to the Real Facts on Real Estate podcast, presented by Sean Patrick Maloney. In this series, we educate real estate agents on how to find success in the industry and grow their wealth to six-figure commissions and beyond. Now here's your host, Sean Maloney.
Welcome to episode 106, Being a Buyer's Agent in a Seller's Market. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney. Thanks for joining me this week. This week, I want to talk to you about being a fiduciary as a buyer's agent in a seller's marketplace. What does it mean to do a good job as a buyer's agent? What does it mean to do a bad job as a buyer's agent? How can we defend ourselves as agents, get it done right, even when the market is hyper-accelerated, multi-offers, lots of different things going on? So let's break it down this week, talk about exactly how to be a great buyer's agent in a seller's marketplace. One of the first things I want to point out is, remember, as a fiduciary, it's not our job to give bad advice. Well, we always work to get our clients the home at the best price and the best terms possible. In a seller's market, we need to give good advice that leads to winning the bidding war. Why is this? Well, first off, we don't just want to throw out huge numbers just to win the bidding war. That's not the purpose. We're doing it when they actually want the home and when the home is properly priced. But what I mean by it is telling them things that are not going to let them win the home, like, oh yeah, that bid'll work, when we know they really want to bid the home, is not a good job. And remember, if we're going to continue missing houses and they have to re-sign the lease, this is not being a fiduciary. Also, if you don't like the prices today, how do you think you're going to feel about them tomorrow, considering they've been climbing at such a rapid rate? I've heard numbers as high as 5, 10, 15% over asking price type offers going in. So this means that if you're telling your people, like, oh, you know, the market will slow down soon, all those things, you may be fighting yourself. That's the tough part, right? If we put down too much groundwork about preparing them for the marketplace that's wrong, like telling them, oh, you know, it'll slow down soon, inventory's coming, all the different things that we like to say to give them the idea that they have more time, can also be a hurt for us when it comes to the idea of trying to explain how to put in a proper offer for the current marketplace. Because remember, not every home that goes on the market is accurately priced. Make sure to always do a reverse CMA. This will help you make sure your buyer's investment is safe. Believe it or not, there's still homes that are selling for under asking price. Lots of times, agents just look at the houses and see what they come on for, and then everyone just assumes that multi-bid will go above asking. It's very important to have a true pulse and feel on the marketplace, especially working as somebody's fiduciary, making sure that we understand why they're offering, what they're offering, in what marketplace they're at. One day an offer may be great, the next day the offer could be completely null and void. It all depends on market conditions, how many people are interested, what the market is like at that very moment. It's going to ultimately lead to what the sale price is. So keeping in mind that some agents are pricing things bad, there's basically two places right now that a lot of people should be shopping. One is the brand new inventory, but the other is the old inventory. There's some old inventory, not a ton of it sitting around, but there's some older inventory on that may be ripe for a lower offer. If someone's looking to make lower priced offers, we usually want to look at stuff that's usually 30 to 60 plus days old. We might be able to talk old but younger now, and the idea of after about 14 to 21 days, people realize that they're not selling. The problem is when we're in such a hyper-accelerated seller's marketplace, it takes a while for some of the sellers to admit that they overpriced because they just think that no one has come that's seen that value. But what they're not understanding is in this hyper-accelerated seller's marketplace, buyers show up first day right away and they put in their best offers because they know if they leave it sitting around that it might not be there. Of course, this completely changes when the tide changes and it becomes a buyer's market. But right now, we're in one of the most fast-paced seller's market I've ever seen. So making sure we're moving quickly. Another thing you want to do as a buyer's agent is you want to make sure your clients understand we need to get out there and look at it in a real way of looking. Not just breeze through it, but look at it because we're going to be writing an offer right away. So whether it be taking pictures, taking notes, whatever it be that works best, making sure they do that and understanding that you might not get a second opportunity to get in. It's tough too right now because right now we have COVID-19 and people have been kind of pushing the showings really, really, really quickly. I would highly advise when working as a buyer's agent and you're going to be writing an offer to not slow down the process by any means to make it slow, would slow down the process, as in let's get a good look before we put in the offer. I know a lot of people are trying to compete in these multi-offer marketplaces, and they're doing crazy things like dropping home inspections and things like that. All the while that might land you the home, just remember as a buyer's agent that you can never guide somebody to skip over an inspection. And if proven to have done so and there's problems in the future, you could actually be held liable. We always should have a home inspection, whether it's new construction, existing, because the reality is once you buy it, it's yours. And without that home inspection, you don't have any protectionary clauses. I understand the concept of wanting to get the house, but what if getting the house means that your client lost out big time because they bought a huge problem? The thing is, when the market's heated like this, whether it be offering high prices, skipping over home inspections, or any of these other things we do to quote-unquote win a house, can lead to a future of getting sued. So they can reach back out and sue us because they say, hey, that person really encouraged me to do no home inspection, not just they gave me the options. Because mind you, yes, as a real estate agent, should we be explaining every contingency? Should we be explaining that if you don't have a home inspection, it does increase the odds of your offer being accepted? Yes, but we're not saying in an encouraging way of you should do it. We're just giving you the different options and allowing you to know with what you might be competing with in neighboring offers. Not saying that, hey, you should not do a home inspection, especially for some of you newer agents out there. You might be thinking, well, because it's new construction, I'm not going to do a home inspection. I do separate episodes all about that, but the truth is, it doesn't matter whether it's new construction, existing construction, it's all about craftsmanship, it's all about work. When we do this home inspection, you could find a house that's hundreds of years old with no problems, and you could find one that's under construction that's been built all wrong. The truth is, we're not home inspectors, we're not contractors, we're real estate agents and real estate professionals. So we want to make sure we bring in that real estate professional to help out, because during a high price market, you're not only going to pay top dollar, but then you're going to take it broken. That could be crazy because it could be way up high. Then you need to sell. Then you realize they're going to do a home inspection. They find a bunch of things. You end up with that problem. So as a buyer's agent, we really, really want to work with our buyers to understand the liability they take on, knowing all options and, you know, ultimately trying to get their offer accepted, but making sure it works for them. Another thing you need to do as a buyer's agent is keeping a pulse on the market. For you to do so will lead to your clients asking you to see things and you not asking them to see them. Don't risk getting fired sitting back waiting for showings. You want to be instigating the showings. You want to be sending them properties even if they haven't asked for them yet. Sometimes even outside of their price range or the desirability range, knowing that that might be the one for them. Looking high and low, looking on market, off market. Working in a buyer's agency agreement can help you with this, because sometimes agents are only working with the MLS properties because of the fact that they're the only ones that offer compensation. But the truth is, to do your job right, to do your job properly, you really want to get that buyer agency agreement up front and show them all properties, both for sale by owner and listed on the market, or even beyond that, stuff that's just kind of a pocket listing, as they call it, which is one that you know is for sale, that they will sell with you, but they haven't listed on the marketplace yet. They're just kind of playing with the idea of it. These are the types of things that really attract people. So whether it's listings that are up and coming in your office, it's listings that you see on a Facebook site where other people are sharing up and coming things, whether it's a property that's for sale by owner, finding those out of the box, out of the ordinary type listings is going to continue to increase your viability and the desirability for your buyers to use you. Because remember, in this type of marketplace, if we put in multiple offers with people and they keep getting rejected, they do start looking at every part of the equation, and we are one part of the equation. So do not give a person an excuse for why it possibly could have been your fault that you didn't get the house. Make sure that when they look at you, the buyer's agent, they say they did everything and anything that they could possibly do to get me this house and to do everything with my best interest in mind. Because remember, as an agent, that's our whole entire purpose, is to serve the client. That's why over here at Movementum Realty, we call our agents Move Mentors, because we look at you as more of a mentor in the home buying, selling, and owning process versus looking at you as a salesperson. Yes, you are a salesperson, but I like to think that we're here to help guide people to find success through the real estate transaction. Unfortunately, I hear way too many occasions where people talk about how stressful and terrible it was. I can tell you, during a buyer's marketplace, It's easy to satisfy a buyer during a seller's marketplace. It's easy to see them frustrated. But if you properly explain the seller's marketplace, if you properly explain all the different things that go on in the multi-offer, if you explain to them how to do your best and what your best looks like, that's all you can really do, and you'll maintain better relationships with them. When it comes to writing an offer, a lot of times we get stuck in the catch-22 of how much should I offer. Do your market research, look at what the list price versus sale price ratios are locally. That'll give you an educated opinion on whether you should offer 3%, 5% over asking. Also get an idea of what the property's valued at versus what you think it's valued at, and that can give you a little bit of guidance. But one thing you don't want to do, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? You don't want to over-suggest pricing to your clients when it's a multi-bid, because if you say firm, solid, yeah, you'll definitely get this one, they don't, they kind of blame you. The other thing is, if they do get the place and the market ever takes a curve, if you were the person pushing them over their comfortable edge, they could be mad at you. So I really try to explain it to all buyers alike. I try to tell them, you know, when you're making the offer and we're in the multi-offer situation, we have to look at a few different factors. How desirable is this home to us? How much in the location is this home to us? How quality is the actual home? How many other people are desiring the home? And what's the likelihood of a multi-offer bid? So when we look at all those, if we get all 10s, then we have to say to ourselves, okay, if it's 10 out of 10 on what I want, 10 out of 10 on where I want it, 10 out of 10 on quality, and 10 out of 10 on other people who like it, well, what number we need to put there is within reason our highest and best offer, to where if we spent one more dollar on it, we'd be mad we got it. And if we had seen in the newspaper it closed and we had spent one less dollar on our offer and didn't get it, we'd be mad. That's the perfect place to be, because ultimately, if you're doing it correctly, you want to get the house, but you don't want to get yourself buried just to beat out another individual. Leaving a home appraisal contingency in there can give you a little protection. Obviously, I've seen some people dropping them lately. I wouldn't suggest that. Also, note, if you're working with a bank and there's a loan involved, there is an appraisal contingency, because the loan has the appraisal contingency in it. So don't try to get cute and drop it. No matter what, you're going to have to do one. You don't want to see it that your buyers at the time of the offer are very hot to go, and then they find out when the appraisal happens from the bank that they have an appraisal contingency only for that, and their mortgage goes through, but they're not happy with the value, so they're mad at you. So suggesting skipping over an appraisal can be a little bit of a risk, again, similar to the inspection, telling them not to do that. Ultimately, guys and girls out there, you're the guide for people to find the right house for themselves. Do not push people too far, but understand in the seller's marketplace that sometimes we have to be the guide in a positive manner of letting them know sitting around and waiting or putting in low numbers is not going to get it done. Being a fiduciary doesn't just mean saving money, it means making good financial decisions. If you're out there trying to get houses right now and you're struggling, you might want to take a look in the mirror and say, what more can I do to prepare my people mentally for the fact that the marketplace is so high currently and continuing to grow with no end in sight? Thank you guys so much for listening this week. Make sure to subscribe. If you haven't already done so, jump over, check out the Facebook group, grab up the newsletter, look at the blog, a lot of great free info. Jump on the website, realfactsonrealestate.com. Let us know what you think in the comments. If you have any future episodes you're looking for, go ahead and type them right in those comments. I appreciate you all, and I'll talk to you next week.